Recording us before I forget. So welcome to the August 19th use case realization call. Today we have Henry. I don't know if Haseem will join us, but going to give us an overview of the CCVPN use case.
Right. Sorry, I forgot to mention Ben. Haseem had he just had some emergency issues.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, but I'll cover his part.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. So usually, you know, people join through the call as the other calls, I'm sure, are wrapping up and stuff. So, to give you the maximum amount of time, do you have slides, I assume? So I'll stop sharing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll probably need a half hour or so.
Yeah, sure. So, yeah. Maybe actually wait, maybe let's wait for a few more people to get on the call. And let me go over a few topical things then before you get started, so that I'll take just a few minutes. So there is a OANS conference coming up, often I go over the upcoming realization calls as well. So today, you know, it's the CCVPN use case, and next week, we're going over with a meeting with Tracy Van Brackel from AT&T, we're discussing the next ORAN ONAP plug fest that's coming up in October, I believe, is when that's happening. and the Open Network Edge Summit is scheduled in September 28 to 30. You can find the link to it here. This was originally planned in April, actually. So it's been rescheduled now to September. Quite a number of interesting talks will be on that. So you can link to that. I'll put this in the chat so people can access it. Chat. Okay. Also, the next DDF is October 13, 14, 15, I believe. And Timo's on the call. Do you want to say a couple words, Timo, on the on this DDF coming up? I think topic proposals are just starting, maybe, right, or something. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of early.
Yeah.
Early stages. Yeah. That's the landing page, and we will start then collecting those topic proposals. But and the process will be similar to what it was for the June event. But I think it might be a good idea for people to kind of
get in early,
maybe wait for couple of weeks maybe. Because the idea is to kind of discuss first with the community that what would be a theme for that event. If we agree that it would be a good idea to have a theme, and then kind of expect people to propose topics around that theme, rather than the way that we did it last time, and also in April, that we just just kind of took everything that people were kind of proposing, and then tried to fit all those things into the schedule. So it all depends. If we decide on a theme, then of course it would be good to have topic proposals around that theme. If we don't agree on a theme, then it will be the way it was in June as well.
And we got a lot of participation. There were like 40 plus proposals. So that was interesting. Yeah.
And that's also a bit of a challenge. I mean, it's a positive problem in a way that we get a lot of proposals, which means people are interested and active. But at the same time, it then leads us to like three, in worst case, four parallel sessions. And it makes people's life difficult to kind of decide
sessions
they
too.
Follow.
Right, there are too
so
many.
It would be maybe better. I think in from that perspective, having like two parallel tracks might be might be better, sort of like kind of the overall thing is like subcommittees type of discussion, and then more detailed discussion, which would go into the details of a use case or project, because that kind of gives a natural split between the kind of audiences and people's right. interest. But
I think the other thing I noticed from the April planning was that there was like nothing, no proposals, no, and then suddenly there were everybody proposed something in like, you know, the span of a
week.
Yeah,
and that's also what we discussed in that kind of very shortly on that program committee, that we have like a little bit less than 8 weeks now.
Yeah.
So we want to start early because we have learned about the dynamics of our community. So we just hope, we try to kind of propose and persuade people to come early with their proposals rather than last sure. week. It would be easier, but and of course it would be easier then to be able to kind of provide the schedule and the actual program like a week before, so people would have time to plan what they want to follow. Now it's been like we get the program the day when we start, which doesn't really provide much time for people to think.
To react and plan what they want to yeah. attend. Yeah, sure. That makes
so
sense.
All these things, we try to learn from these, but let's see how successful we are this time.
Right, right. Yeah, and the calls I've been on, like the modeling call and the architecture calls, I try to raise awareness too that that there's something coming up so that people can think about I would expect at least some of the regular groups, like the 5G group and modeling and architecture and stuff, would probably have their general everyday DF. They generally have some presentation. Although if there's a theme, then maybe not. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. That's also, it may kind of change a little bit the dynamics. We will have a short slot in tomorrow's TSC, just to kind of bring this up right. and raise the awareness amongst the TSC members so that they can then start discussing in their companies and in the community.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks. So those are some of the things coming up. So Henry, I'll stop sharing and go ahead and take over. So again, for those of you who just joined, we're about to give a press overview on CCVPN. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm starting to share my screen. Oh. Okay. 1 second. Let me disable my cooperative. So I will have a half an hour talk on the transport slicing on that. I would go through first of all the background of transport slicing in the E2E network slicing context, and I'll introduce the architectural requirements. And overall design of the solution, and what to do in the gradient release, the scope of the gradient release. So these are the three main topics I'm gonna cover. So the background, so as we all know that in the gradient release, we are working on a end-to-end network slicing. And transport slicing can be viewed as a component or part of the network slicing overall solution. The highlight here is that for RAN and as well as core, the interface would comply with the 3GPP standards. For transport slicing, the interface and the data models are used or aligned with the IETF models. And these transport slicing solution is our topic today. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, sorry. So there's Also, the 5G RAN 3GPP TS28.540 and 541, is that, you mentioned the IETF modeling, but the, but is there also the 3GPP?
Right.
Yeah.
A good question, Ben. Let me clarify. So the little background in the standards domain is that 3GPP defines through the standard you just mentioned, Ben, on the RAN and the core and SS, right, network subslice. But 3GPP defines the requirement for transport, but not the model or not the definition of what transport subslice is defined. So that 3GPP would just refer to a quote unquote other standard bodies, right, such as IETF. So thus far, based on my knowledge, that IETF is the front runner of the if you will, of the standards that defines transport models, right? Other organizations such as MEF have also started to work on the transport slice, but IETF has a working model, although it's still in the draft state now, but it has a working model that can be implemented by us. Right.
Can you provide a reference to that IETF model?
Yes.
And do you know if they've done some alignment with MEF or ONF in that work at all?
That I asked, as far as I know, it's just started because the alignment will be aligned among IETF and MEF, right, folks. But since I said this is very early stage, they probably just started to exchange notes right now. But as far as I know, ONF, I do not know if they have a model to share. Just started.
So there's the transport model. There's a TAPI model in ONF.
The transport
API, and MEF has aligned very well with that.
Good point. Which I will elaborate in the later the slides. What I say here, along with IETF, is the only the definition of transport slice, which is a definition model, right? So TAPI and MEF. ENNI model and et cetera, that's also in the development on that would help to realize the implementation, which is here, right? The network configuration, which is how to configure a network, right? So IETF though has not only the network configuration models, right? Which ONF also has. It also has what I call a transport slice definition model, right? Which is basically on the northbound interface side of the TNNSSMF, right? So far, to my knowledge, IETF has offered a model that we can implement, but as said, MEF just started this work, I guess.
Okay. If you just provide the reference, that'd be interesting.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah. Great. Okay.
Hindu, this Sandeep, quick comment. I mean, I just like found out maybe last week that ORAN community has now work group 9. They're also looking at this transport backhaul, XHAUL, they call it. Is that correct?
Yeah, I work with the I just had a meeting, right, with Swami organized a meeting with ORAN, and currently my understanding, I think yes, ORAN has probably worked on has some work, But my feeling, right, from last yesterday's meeting with the ORAN team, is that they are examining currently the IETF model to see how the IETF model can satisfy the requirements of ORAN in terms of defining the front haul and mid haul flights. So I think I think the feeling or the feedback I received right from interact with ORAN team yesterday is that they would be happy for some organization like IETF to define the transport that can be consumed by ORAN. That's my feeling.
But it does sound like we need some industry harmonization here.
Yeah. As said.
Yeah, definitely.
ONAP is in a very good contributing view, a position, right? In this industry collaboration, because as we see here, right? We as ONAP need to implement right the network slicing. We need to bring in all the standards and implement them on one platform, so we can we'll see how we can work better.
There's been a lot of work in MF on backhaul as well, and I think they've extended that to mid-haul and front-haul. So it'll be interesting to make sure that what IETF is doing kind of aligns with those ideas as well.
Yeah. I'll drop a note on that. Okay. Yeah, because I can also as I said, ONAP is a good community to clarify all these questions, especially the standards collaboration, because we have for example, right, expert from Fujitsu who are expert in MEF, way more knowledgeable in MEF than I do, right? So we can ask the Fujitsu team that I'm also working with on the CCVPN project, right? To see how advanced the MEF is in terms of defining the network slice. But as said, what I heard from Fujitsu, my colleagues in the Fujitsu is that the MEF just started.
Right, but the key is, you see the southbound side with the transport network configurations, and those things have to tie together. And if you have existing models in that area, you want to make sure the work that IETF is doing is kind of aligned, so that the transformation from the transport slice definition to the actual transport network configuration is easy.
Yes, definitely. So we I said this is a very brief overview of the background picture. But I have it somewhere in the slide saying that our design in ONAP, right? Although as a first implementation, we use IETF models because they are available to us. But our architecture does not exclude non-IETF models to be later added into our solution on that, right? Okay, so this is some overview on the background for the transport slicing, and this picture is highlighted here that the implementation of transport slicing it is also aligned with the ETSI ZSM framework. ETSI ZSM framework is a good good architectural reference for the end-to-end network automation. Okay, and especially ZSM 003, I believe, 003 is a solution for end-to-end network slicing. We when we implement the transport slicing solution, we try to use the principles, the architectural principles defining in ZSM, especially that we want to have a model driven modularized design of transport slicing. So transport slicing, in other words, transport slicing is implementation wise is self-contained and modularized. So all the network configuration, right, which is the detailed implementation or the realization of transport slicing is encapsulated in a logically self-contained and self-deployable module. That module, what we call it network management domain, but that conceptually is equivalent to the NSSMF defined in 3GPP. The highlight here is that the management domain or the NSSMF would offer a northbound user interface, okay, which is a model-driven intent-like user interface that defines what is a transport slice. So basically, the northbound interface is a transport slice definition model. And that definition model is what I just mentioned, that we use a draft from IETF. The transport slice definition model is from the IETF draft is called TSCI. That term is what's highlighted in the draft. The next few slides we will see some of the details of what TSCI model look like. Okay. So here, just in a nutshell, is that we our implementation of the transport slicing on that also comply with the ZSM framework.
So I have a question. Is this box what you're showing here? How does it relate to the previous slide? Is this all the TNSSMF? That box is what you're expanding?
No. Sorry. this TNSMF is equivalent to the box here. By large, I think the implementation on that is quite consistent with this picture, this ZSM framework picture. But what I like to highlight is that that implementation of TN is, in particularly, we are particularly pay attention to our implementation to make sure it aligns with ZSM.
I see. And the
So really the highlight here is that DSM, what ZSM asks us is that don't expose multiple interfaces from multiple components inside the TNSSMF. Instead, right, give just one unified northbound interface, okay, from the encapsulated TNSSMF module, okay, and that interface needs to be technology agnostic, right, intent-like, and has to be model-driven. So these are the essentials of ZSM framework requirement.
And just two more questions. So one, I assume the lollipops with the circle on the bottom and the hood on the top, that's an offered API, and the reverse is a consumed API. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
And And second, am I understanding this correct, that basically that one box where your cursor is now, that's essentially ONAP. And do you expect the other boxes, the RAN domain management domain, CN, those are also within ONAP too, right?
Yes. These are also within ONAP. Well, actually, in ONAP, in the RAN case, let me go to the previous page. On ONAP, there's two RAN deployment, right? One is to deploy RAN NSMF on ONAP. The other is the third party RAN NSMF, right? In both cases, the RAN NSMF offers a clearly defined northbound interface to the consumer, right? Of RAN, which is the NSMF. I think the RAN, our implementation of RAN NSSM solution on ONAP is quite consistent with the ZSM framework as well.
I see. Thank you.
Okay. That said, for TN though, it's simpler. TN, we only implement this NSMF on ONAP. We don't have a third party TN NSMF.
Hey, Henry.
Yes.
Why do you call it third party? Is this for like RAN sharing or?
Third party means vendor provided RAN NSSMF module that's deployed outside of ONAP.
Okay, like a management. Like a management module.
Like a management module. Yeah, it's basically a RAN NSSMF, right? But yes. But it's not implemented on ONAP.
Is it ORAN or is it out of IET, defined in IETF?
This is a vendor implemented. It could be, right? Could be the vendor could implement ORAN or could be a non-ORAN. As far as I know, right? So currently the third party RAN NSMF is a vendor provided. I believe my colleagues in wireless, right? Huawei Wireless have a RAN controller. Is also interested in integrating with ONAP, which act as NSMF.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
So here I'm kind of curious too. I look on the table on the upper right here, the third party RAN MSF being worked by Huawei, CMCC, and WePro. So I guess the ONAP will also be aware of this third-party RAN NSMF through something like the ESR project or some API
yes.
or something. What's about API?
Yeah. So I think So the solution I believe on ONAP is that this NSMF have NSSMF adapters as part of the NSMF. And these adapters are configurable.
I see.
If the deployment of is a third party, right, or we call it outside of ONAP, right, and RAN SMF, then adapter is configured in that way, and it's through the ESR, right? The vendor information is also configured there. This is how.
Okay, thanks.
I think. Okay, thanks. Okay, so can go to this slide. These are the a slide that existed for quite a while, okay, which is a requirement for the slice management architecture choices. The requirement from the community is that it is asking us, which is a transport slice, right, a solution to support all the scenarios, but in essential is scenario 1 and 4. Once the scenario architectural choice 1 and 4 it can be supported, then others can also be supported naturally. So the difference between choice 1 and choice 4 is that whether the NSSMF is deployed together with NSMF on a same ONAP instance or separately, right? So this is again going to the rank case, right? For scenario 1, equivalent to the rank NSMF case is that the RAN NSMF, right, is deployed together with NSMF on one ONAP instance. But for that so-called third party, right, RAN NSMF, which that's scenario 4. Okay, for transport NSSMF, we naturally align with choice 1, because our transport slicing solution is on ONAP, but our architecture also need to support choice 4, which is allow the one day allow a third party transport NSMF to be deployed and integrated with ONAP, right? So that's a architectural requirement that we have to fulfill, okay, for transport slicing. So how we fulfill it? We come up with this design.
Wait. So just one quick question back on the other slide. So this option 4, I mean, there's no pressing need for this option 4 because, I mean, you show in slide 3, there's no third-party NSSMF solution. So, is there an urgent need for this? Why?
You're right, Ben. That's why. Scenario 1 will be done, right? It will be done in G release, right? So scenario 4 is not in the scope of G release, but. As a evolution, right, of the ONAP architectural evolution,
okay.
Right? We don't want to limit ourselves to only one. That's what I think.
I see. So you said earlier that the solution 1 and 4 are crucial for transport, just because those are the two main possible solutions. But you're focusing on one, on the first option, because that's the immediate need. And in the future releases, you might be able
to support. Sorry, I probably confused everybody. We are not implementing 1 and 4 together. We are realize one, right? The deployment choice 1 in G release, but our design should be forward looking. We would not prevent us from doing choice 4 in the future. That's what the architectural requirement is asking us, right, to do. This slide I used to say the architecture choice 4 is out of the scope of G, but in this slide, I think I delete that note. Okay. So anyhow, what this picture is trying to say is that it's crucial that we define an internal API on ONAP, right? An internal API on ONAP that is a consistent. Okay. No need to change. Even when in the future we need to support scenario four, right? Which is a standard, have a standard API, right? That talks to NSMF on that. So yeah, so in essence, in Guilin release, we are implementing the SO and AI models, okay? The external API, which basically extend the internal API or translate the internal API into some kind of a standard, right? External APIs is an evolution, right? We can do it in the future, really. So this is a...
Right, but you wouldn't have the NSSMF in the right-hand scenario, right? That box disappears, and then the NSMF would communicate via external API to an external NSSMF.
Right, right, right.
So the lines on there are a little bit confusing. So why would NSSMF be connected to the external API versus the NSMF?
Right. In the future, this slide again. This slide, it's a bit confusing. Scenario one, and scenario four. The difference that I highlight is that the NSMF and the NSMF are deployed together or separately, right? So yes. It is possible in the future that a vendor, right, pick up ONAP.
Right, you'd externalize the NSSMF and put a standard API there.
Yeah. It's possible, right? Two ONAP, right? in scenario four, right? There's two ONAP talking to each other. One is the NSMF and the other is the NSSMF.
Okay, so the line to external API on the left hand side of the diagram from NSSMF to external API is really to illustrate that current scenario where the NSSMF is communicating with XNFs. Okay.
Right, that makes sense.
I got that. Okay, so okay, that's okay. I was misinterpreting it. Thank you.
Okay.
So I think also you would have two different data. Wouldn't you have two different sort of data models in the option one and option four? Because where ONAP needs to know about both the NSMF and the TN-NSMF, that's going to look a little different than where ONAP just needs to know about the NSMF and they know they're communicating to an external third party NSSMF. And probably in design time, when you create the service, you'll design it in such a way that you're designing your service one way or the other, right?
That's a very important question, Ben. So we try to make the model, right, for both options, okay, consistent. So in other words, for option one, right, we use this TSCI model. Also for option four. So for option four, the model doesn't change, right? The model actually, and by the way, the model is, what we say is IETF model, but IETF only give us an information model, right? Where we have to derive a data model according to our AI convention, right? But anyhow, for both option one and option four, we have one set of model. We don't have different models for the transport slice
destination. That's interesting. Yeah.
One model because that's why I bring up this requirement to let us review together. Okay. The design requirement is definitely we don't want to have scenario one is one implementation, scenario four in the future we have a totally different implementation. We want to have one model, again, if we want to implement scenario four, we just need to add a external APIs, right? basically translate, you know, some internal presentation into a RESTful API.
So in such a case, I would expect that essentially you're imposing some sort of standard agreement essentially between, data knowledge between this third party NSSMF and the NSMF, right? In order to preserve a common model.
Yes, Ben. So here, as I said, in here, I'm using right the IETF working groups definition, but as we said, right, in the future, right, there's MEF and all the ONF, they probably all want to define right this model, but that's another topic. Hopefully we don't run into the situation there's multiple standard offered by the industry. I hope right IETF MEF can all work together. Okay. Give us one.
I see.
But that's
right.
A separate topic.
Yeah.
So if we externalize the NSSMF, then the left-hand side would change. So the NSMF would have an interface to the external API to communicate with the external NSSMF.
So
that line between the two right now, between NSMF and NSSMF, would actually move up.
So for scenario four, this is again, it's not perfectly illustrated picture.
That kind of illustrates the first scenario, not right.
Yeah. Apologize for that. Yeah. So for scenario four.
So. Ben, I think what would be interesting is the interactions from NSMF to NSSMF. Because based on those interactions, I'm sure that you'd have a network slice subnet model that you'd have to communicate around, which would mean you probably would store that type of thing in inventory.
Right.
But who'd be responsible for updating the inventory might be interesting. If you externalize the NSSMF, it might be the NSMF that would actually take care of updating AAI once the request is complete.
And arguably, I mean, the things you ANAI wants to know about, if some things are external, would change. I'm not sure, but it seems to me that that thing isn't managed per se by ONAP, and it may need to be cognizant of different things, right?
Right, which would mean the interface between the NSMF and the NSSMF is very important, because that's where you would communicate any. First of all, any knowledge about the network slice subnets that you're requesting, what their status is,
exactly,
and all that. Right. And then I would assume that the NSMF would update AAI, which leads to a question: why wouldn't you do that to start with? If your plan is to externalize it, maybe if you had the logic to do that in the NSMF initially, it might make externalizing the NSSMF easier.
Does it change dynamically during the instantiation?
Ooh, that's a good question.
And also, I wondered, if Henry, maybe it would help if he expounded on the AI requirement that he mentioned earlier on too. If there, it may be more knowledge of the whole thing than specifically AI, but I don't know if you can do that, Henry.
Denise, is that Denise? For this picture, I think that the AAI, right? For scenario four, the AAI would contain the NSSI, the TNSS MF model. How do we do this?
And I might have misunderstood. I might have understood it as an AI requirement, not an AAI, and AI requirement. So maybe I'm wrong. I didn't know if it was kind of more related to machine learning and AI.
AI. That's what I meant. Sorry. Scenario one is I think better understood, I guess, comparatively, right? Really try to highlight here is that while we are doing scenario one, we don't want to have an architecture to be very restricted, limited, and blocking us from evolving, right? And evolving into further supporting scenario four. Okay. Do we see any big problems with this? So as I said, we are implementing this SO and A and AI right now, not the external API. As I said, there's no definition yet.
Yeah, it just may be interesting to see the actual interaction diagrams, the flows, and how the inventory information gets updated.
Oh, okay. Unfortunately, I this is a brief overview. We can have a separate talk. I have the sequence diagram, but not in today's presentation, unfortunately. We'll probably have another day scheduled to go through that sequence diagram for the interactions.
Yeah, that would be good. Right? We can for sure schedule another follow up.
So, next, I think I talked too much. Sorry about that. What I try to highlight here is that it is for these slides, I put more emphasis on the interface, which is this guy here, GSCI. Basically, that is what we have to be agreed, right, to move forward. Next to three slides just talking about what TSCI is about, okay? TSCI offers a model that model basically defines what is a transport slice and let the consumer, right, to use, right, this interface. Basically instantiate the TSCI instance and then send the TSCI model to the TNNSMF and then the TNNSMF would figure out how to configure the network, right, in encapsulated way. Okay, so for TSCI, first takeaway is that TSCI model try to have a general definition for front haul, mid haul, and back haul. So in other words, one model for all the X hauls. Okay. So this is the takeaway of this slide here. Okay. And how to do that? A transport slice can contain possibly front haul, mid haul, and definitely back haul, right? Usually back haul is inevitable, but So for each haul is one slice instance. So if there's three hauls, then for end-to-end NSI, it will contain three TSI instances, okay? And with inside a TSI instance, right, which representing either front haul, mid haul, back haul, there is the concept of a network. Basically, it's a collection of logical links. Okay, a group of logical links share a LSA, right? So this is what this is the essence of the TSAI model, right? So in other words, the one TSAI instance can represent a front hall, mid hall, or back hall, and inside this one TSAI instance, there essentially two building blocks. One is the so-called network, which is a connectivity graph, right? So allow the user or the consumer of a TN to describe what the connectivity from endpoint to endpoint are. And the second building block are so-called policies, right? SLA, for example, right, is a policy that associated with the connectivity graph. So that's the main idea of the TSCI model. And this picture is the information model that I just talked about. Okay. The TSCI is defined technology agnostic, right? It's basically, it's pretty much like an intent-like a model. So I'm hoping, right, other organizations, MEF, right, or ONF, even they define a model, it will not be too much different from this, right? Because this model is already simple enough that only captures the essential.
Is this a model from IETF suggested?
Yeah, it's from the IETF draft. Actually, Ben, you're from Nokia too, right? The author for this model is from Nokia too. He's in Ottawa, Rocky.
Rocky.
Yeah, you know, Rocky. I use his model. And I'm still working with him because his draft has been in an expired state for several months now. But we are trying to update his draft, and it's expired, but not dead, right? He's still working on it. And on that feedback, the feedback I collected today would be useful, very useful for him, I believe.
And Sandeep, one quick question. You know, on the previous slide, when you talked about connectivity graph, right? Endpoint. So every endpoint in your model is essentially like an IP address and port. Is that correct?
Yes. Good question. The recently, right? 3GPP has defined the endpoints. Okay, it's the transport endpoints. I think it's been adopted into 3GPP standards already. And to answer your question, yes, the endpoints are IP addresses. Okay, on the RAN and the core side. Okay, as well as but it's more than just the IP addresses. Of course, IP address implies a port, but in the 3GPP endpoint model, they have four components, but three of them are very essential: IP address, a logical interface ID, and equally important, a next hop information. So basically, next hop information is where this IP addresses the endpoint IP addresses bind into a transport endpoint. But what I'm trying to highlight is that there is a so-called endpoint data model, or not data model, information model defined by 3GPP, and this TSCI model where is it, node and links, these links refer to the endpoints defined by 3GPP.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. I don't have the details, but you were, if we examine what's defining AAI, okay, A and AI on that what you will see that it's just exactly what I just said. Okay. the links, the links refer to the two 3GPP defined endpoints. Second requirement is, Ben, I think we're out of time. I'll just ramp up, okay?
You have a few minutes, yeah, keep going.
Okay, sorry. So second requirement is also important, is that the consumer who consumes the transport NSMF service, okay, provided that it defines a clear not bound interface. Well, from the community, we need to satisfy two requirements. One is that transport NSMF is consumed directly by NSMF. Second requirement this scenario one is saying that transport NSMF is not only consumed by NSMF, but it can also consume it by RAN. So in other words, the front haul and mid haul transport slice is defined by RAN, and the RAN consume transport NSMF for front haul and mid haul realization. Deployment scenario two, it says NSMF is responsible for defining all the front haul, mid haul, and back haul. So translate this requirement to the design requirement of transport NSMF is that transport NSMF northbound interface, right, has to be generic enough, and equally important, the design of transport NSMF has to be consumer neutral. What I call it, consumer agnostic, meaning that it cannot assume that the caller of TNSMF can only be one guy, like for example NSMF. Okay, so this is another important requirement that the transport NSMF need to fulfill. These two slides, I'll just spend not much time on that because I already explained this scenario one, right, which I said this is the backhaul slice defined by NSMF, but the front haul and the mid haul are defined by RAN, and they are like this. They're sending down to transport like this. Okay. The second scenario is that all three transport slice definitions are defined are instantiated by NSMF. Okay. The scope of gradient release. Now this would echo what the comment we had earlier, right? That MEF and ONNF can be reused. How it can be reused? Well, in here, this is the model that we just talked about, the TSEM model, right? So this is the draft, okay, from Rocky, Russell Rocky's draft. It basically defines what the front haul, you know, mid haul, back haul look like, and then this TSCI instance sent down to the NSMF, and NSMF would basically configure the network accordingly, right? And we could use existing CCV VPN features, right? We already developed some of the features, and this is how we want to implement that in the G release. Okay. This is my last slide.
Henry, could, are you saying that the transport could change during the what used to be called a session? I don't know if you're thinking based on the required latency for the type of service and where the subscriber is that and as they roam, that it could evolve to be more optimized end to end. Is that what you're saying? Or are you just talking about an initial configuration right at the start only.
So in these slides, right? I'm trying to say is that we need to implement a definition model that's definitely has to be defined in the GitHub release because RAN and NSMF needs to use it, right? But in terms of the network configuration, which is part two, right? This part two, for the G release for time being, right? We can only realize a layer one and a layer two services. We have no, for example, further evolve into IP configurations. That's MP to MP mesh like a network, okay? Which does not only require optical domain controller. It requires IP controller to configure IP network. That's not in the key release. Definition model relatively because it's a very high level, right? It's intent like model is relatively simple, right? And quote unquote simple to see, but how to realize that, right? On a real network, that's very very complicated. We can only do layer one, layer two for G release, but we will further evolve.
Okay,
evolve
thank you.
Our implementation. Okay, thanks.
Okay, great. Thank you, Henry, so much for your presentation. Really informative, excellent presentation. Thanks. Why don't you send me the slides? I'll upload them to the wiki here.
Ben. Yeah, I will send you the slides after the meeting.
And the recording will be available to everybody. Okay. So we'll stop the meeting here. Thank you, everybody, for joining, and have a great day. Yep. Thanks. Okay. All right. Bye.
Okay. Thank you.